Welcome to Union Congregational Church, a church in the United Church of Christ, where no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here, whether here in these pews or online, whether today or throughout the week. I have a few announcements for today. So this coming week, I have 1 week of vacation left until my contract renews for next year. So I'm going to be taking this coming week as a staycation so that I can work on some music projects and do some other things. And then I'll be gone this coming weekend because I am leading a youth retreat at the Chola Center. I'll be doing music and worship throughout the whole weekend. My dear friend, Rayanne Beebe, is preaching next week at both services. She is a retired UCC pastor, having just retired a couple of years ago from being a full-time pastor at Saren UCC in Sheboygan Falls, and before that she pastored at a church in Oshkosh. So she will be a wonderful, wonderful gift for you all next week. After that, we'll be getting ready for Advent. First Sunday of Advent is the Sunday of Thanksgiving weekend. So with that in mind, we will need Advent candle lighters and readers. Every week we do the Advent wreath and light candles and read a short litany. I know that I have one person, one family willing to do it at the 9:30 service the first Sunday of Advent, but we'll need some other people, other families to help. So if you're interested in doing that, either let me know or let Alana know, and we'll plug you in and get you everything you need. It's a really nice way to prepare our congregation for Advent, for the coming of Christ. So we're very close to our OCWM goal, but not quite there. If anybody feels moved, please donate to OCWM. And if you need more information on what OCWM does, please see me after worship, and I'll be happy to share more. We also need bell ringers for Salvation Army bell ringing, so please sign up to do that. Lots of things going on. Any other announcements?
I have a couple. Per Chrissy, the end of end of the year donations is coming soon. It's December 29th, so if you want anything entered still this year, please do so by that date. And then anything after will be entered for next year. Also, transportation for you, I think, is really high priority, especially now the winter months are coming. Please sign up. There are more. The rest of the year is on the back of that sheet on the butcher block. And then also the last 3 days for poinsettia orders. I will be putting in the order either Wednesday or Thursday, so please get your orders in. Everything is on the butcher block for you.
Great. Yeah, I haven't managed to get snow tires on that bike. So please, I appreciate anybody who's willing to bring me to church, especially on Sundays when the taxi doesn't run. Of course, the one day a week that I really need to get here, the taxi doesn't run. Seeing no other announcements, let's share the peace of Christ with one another.
Good morning. Please stand and join in the call to worship. Followers of Christ, let us remember the path we have chosen.
The way of truth and life.
The way of love for our neighbors and ourselves.
The way of community and connection.
Followers of Christ, let us not grow weary in care for each other. Evil tells stories that harm and isolate, but this we proclaim. We belong to each other. May this be our joy and our hope. Please join in the unison prayer. Gracious One, keep us soft in heart toward each other. As pearls multiply, may we resolve not to isolate ourselves or others, but to move into closer relationship, into deeper connection, deeper understanding, deeper solidarity. We return to the witness of Jesus, whose life was shaped by the hope of community and the courage of compassion. Amen.
Our opening hymn is number 649, Gather Us In. We'll be singing verses 1, 2, and 4. Amen. You may be seated.
All right. Can you hear me? Am I on? All right. I think I have a whole bunch coming up today. Come on up.
Morning, everybody.
You guys coming up today?
Woohoo!
Woohoo! Hey, we got Pastor Jacob here. And Pastor Jacob, I said we're going to do the traditional hanging of the greens. Do you know what? He didn't know what hanging of the greens was. He said, what's hanging of the greens? Do you guys know what hanging of the greens is? You do? You do? Some are saying no, some say yes. Well, it's been since 2021 that we've done it. So let's see, that's 4 years ago. How old were you guys 4 years ago?
Four.
Four, you're good. You're fast with the numbers. How old were you 4 years ago?
Four.
Four also? How about you?
Five.
You were five?
I was...
Let's see, what are you, nine, eight? Nine minus four, five?
Yeah,
you're
five.
Five. Were you guys born yet, some of you? You?
I was born.
You were one?
Six.
And you were six? Okay. This is great.
Yeah.
They didn't know they were going to have to do math this morning.
Surprise!
Yeah. So hanging of the greens, it's our church's beloved tradition of telling the entire Christmas story from Advent, you know, preparing for Christmas, all the way through what they call Epiphany, which is when the three kings finally get to Jesus. So it basically, Hanging of the Greens tells the whole story. So in the next few weeks, some adults, some of my Christian education committee members, the Sunday school teachers are going to teach it to you, and then you guys are going to teach it to the congregation on December 7th when we present the program. Okay, that sounds cool. So here's an example. So we have to decorate the church and prepare, and that's part of our Hanging of the Greens. Well, every time we put something on the tree, it's a symbol of something. For instance, the candle, there's an ornament that's in the shape of a candle that we have to put on our Christmas tree that day. We're going to tell the congregation that that candle represents that Jesus is the light of the world. So we're teaching the congregation what everything represents. We'll bring in holly, we'll bring in stars, and you guys have lots of jobs to do because you got to bring all this stuff in. Can you help me with that? Yeah, yeah? Super. So that's what Hanging of the Greens is all about. And today, in the back, in Sunday school, we're going to start practicing for how to do that. Sound good?
Yeah.
And then Pastor Jake will know a whole lot more about the Hanging of the Greens when we're done.
Yep.
Can you lead us in prayer, Pastor Jake?
Absolutely.
Let's hold our hands.
So I'm going to say a short phrase, and I invite you to repeat it back to me. Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For traditions.
For traditions.
That help us.
That help us.
Remember.
Remember.
The coming of Christ.
The coming of Christ.
Help us.
Help us.
Learn.
Learn.
Laugh.
Laugh.
And enjoy ourselves.
And enjoy ourselves.
As we start planning.
As we start planning.
Hanging of the Greens.
Hanging of the Greens.
Amen.
Amen. All right, let's head back to Sunday school.
Our scripture reading this morning, first one comes from Isaiah 65, verses 17 through 25. For I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating. For I am about to create Jerusalem as a joy and its people as a delight. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and delight in my people. No more shall the sound of weeping be heard in it or the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old person who does not live out a lifetime. For one who dies at 100 years will be considered a youth, and one who falls short of 100 will be considered accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For the likes of a tree, for like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be, and the chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity. For they shall be offspring, blessed by the Lord, and their descendants as well. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the fox. But the serpent, its food shall be dust. They shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. Our second reading is from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6 through 13. Now we command you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to keep away from every brother or sister living irresponsibly and not according to the tradition that they received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us. We were not responsible when we were with you. And we did not eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with toil and labor, we worked night and day so that we might not burden any of you. This was not because we do not have that right, but in order to give you an example to imitate. For even when we were with you, we gave you this command: anyone unwilling to work should not eat. For we hear that some of you are living irresponsibly, mere busybodies, not doing any work. Now such persons we command and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. Brothers and sisters, do not be weary in doing what is right. Here ends the readings for today. May God bless us as we learn from these holy words. Amen.
Thank you, Amy. A note on today's liturgy. I give thanks for the writers of today's liturgy. The company is called Enfleshed, and they have focused for about 8 years on writing liturgy for progressive pastors and progressive churches. They're a nonprofit 501c3, and like many nonprofits, they've been hit really hard at this time, and they just told their subscribers, of which I am one, that they are sunsetting their ministries and won't be able to keep going on, so which is a deep source of grief for a lot of us. And I've used their liturgies with you several times, and I'm gonna miss them, but grateful for their work. Now I'll enter into prayer. Will you pray with me? God, be in our heads and in our thinking. Be in my voice and in my speaking. Be in our hearts and in our loving. Speak through me or in spite of me for the benefit of your holy word. Amen. So the biggest question I asked myself when I was writing the sermon is this: when have I struggled to do the right thing? Now, I try to do things that are informed by my particular set of beliefs, my faith journey, my ideologies, my perspectives on life. But in these anxious times, it feels like sometimes discerning what is ours to do is really kind of difficult. And honestly, sometimes we don't want to admit when we've known what the right thing to do is and yet have refused to do it. So I want to actually start by doing something a little bit different today. I want to give you just a few moments to think about that question. When have you struggled to do the right thing? You can think of it in any way that you want. These answers will just be for you, and maybe if you feel like it, you can talk to somebody around you. But you can also just sort of sit quietly and reflect. But when have you struggled to do the right thing? That's your question to think about for, I'll give you about 15, 30 seconds. All right, pencils down. I myself can think of many situations where I've struggled to do the right thing. Sometimes I've found it hard as a preacher to say what needs to be said in a difficult ideological climate like we find ourselves in, because, you know, I want to keep my job, and I don't want to offend people too much. Sometimes I've struggled to apologize to a friend when I know that I've done something wrong. Sometimes I've just taken the easy way out in life instead of doing the things that would make a meaningful difference in someone's life or in the society that I live in. And maybe some of you notice that in yourselves too, that you've had those tendencies. And, you know, I'm not shaming anybody, because, you know, I've done that just as many times as the rest of you. But that's the reason why I found it important to talk about the text from 2 Thessalonians today. So I admit that it's kind of weird. And you've probably noticed that it seems to call out lazy people, right? It seems to call out people that don't want to work, saying things like, if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. If you don't work, really bad things are gonna happen to you. But I want to be clear here. I'm not saying you all are lazy people, because you're not, right? You are passionate, compassionate people who do really important work and do a lot of hard work. Lots of you are farmers. Lots of you have been teachers. Lots of you are laborers in all sorts of ways, and so it's very clear to me that you do a lot of hard and important work. So I'm not calling you out, and I'm not gonna say that we should take this literally here. But there's still enough in the spirit of what the writer of 2 Thessalonians is saying here that I think is important. But I need to give you a little bit of context. So when we look at 2 Thessalonians, it's important to remember that this was not a church of people who were simply unwilling to work or contribute to society. These were not people living comfortable middle-class lives with a nice 401k. These were young, vulnerable Christian communities living in a world where following Jesus put them at odds with the dominant culture, politics, economics, and religious expectations around them. And I know you've heard me talk about this dynamic before, and I'm going to be talking about that a lot again, because part of the audacity of Advent is understanding that an unwed teenage mother who didn't have much became the mother of the Son of God. I mean, really? Right? You know, it's incredible. But the trick here is to realize that the people in 2 Thessalonians weren't doing nothing because they didn't care. They were struggling to know how to live faithfully when life felt out of control and the future felt uncertain. Sometimes I wonder if we feel that too in the world we're living in today. We don't know what to do because life feels so uncertain for so many people. In these past few months in our country, we've seen a lot. People wondering about whether they're going to get enough food when SNAP benefits were suspended. People wondering about how on earth they're going to pay for their health insurance. One of my friends, a single mother, posted on Facebook about the fact that if she wanted to keep exactly the same coverage for just her, let alone her child, she would have to pay for, again, just her, $4,000 more per year. and to keep what she has. And all sorts of other people are in the same boat, of course. And Terry Respalier, the director of our food pantry, regularly discusses the people, the things that people in this community face. She says with the rising meat prices, it's very difficult to supply this community with the protein that they need, the healthy macronutrients that you need to survive. So the phrase in today's passage that's been rattling around in my brain has been this: do not be weary in doing what is right. Do not be weary in doing what is right. God invites us, calls us even, to wake up when we feel apathetic or when we ignore the suffering of others. God invites us to discern what is right for us to do in times like these. In a similar way, the writer of 2 Thessalonians, who might be the Apostle Paul, but might not, we're not entirely sure, is telling people to avoid being irresponsible. Once again, I'm not saying anything about lazy people. The way I think about irresponsibility is this: they're irresponsible people are people in our society who make way too much money off of the backs of the poor and disenfranchised people, and are irresponsible and don't understand the needs and the suffering that are right in front of them, or if they do understand it, they actively choose not to do anything with it, right? But Pastor Jacob, you might count, we're a small church in a small town. How can we truly make a difference? If you're feeling this way, I would counter back and I would say, friends, you already are. I had a lovely little moment at the confirmation retreat last weekend when the students were asked to name one thing in this world that gives them hope. One of our students piped up and named that they were changed by the experience of serving with other members of our church at the St. Catherine Drexel shelter. Our student talked about how sitting with these people who have been down on their luck and eating lunch with them and learning from them changed their life. And it was a sacred experience. Now, if I asked any of you that question, what gives you hope in these times, maybe you might have a story of your own from this church. Maybe it might be something else in your life. No matter what it is, I beg you, don't stop now. Because I was talking to my dad once, and he noticed, and he said something like, this church is maybe a small church in a small town, but you are doing big things. He called you the little church that could, you know? And you have good hearts, and you have important perspectives on what it means to struggle in the world, and not just to struggle, but to rise from that struggle and help other people, right? You're doing really good things. It may not always be easy to do what God asks of us. And in fact, a lot of times, it's probably going to be very difficult. Sometimes we're going to have to be bold in saying what we believe, even when other people, other Christians, maybe other churches in this town, might not like what we have to say. But we do these things because we understand that that's what God is calling us to do in times like these. Because people are struggling and they just need a sense of hope, right? People are wondering if there is good news left for them. And my friends, through your actions and through the ways that you witness to our community, my friends, you are their answer. You can say to others in this community that you go to the church that sits with those down on their luck at the lunch table and learns from them. You can be the one that says, I go to the church who finds people other Christians might push aside and say, you are welcome here. And you are embraced here just as you are. And you don't need to change to be welcome at the table. And I think one of the most important things that we can do is to keep discerning what is right for the future of our ministries. A couple weeks ago in our budget meeting, we presented current situations of the things going pretty well, and also some much-needed work on our building that we'll be doing in the course of the next year. The work that we do on our building is directly related to our work for justice, because if we keep this building in good shape, if we keep the building where our ministries happen in good shape, then we can use the rest of our funds for meaningful justice-oriented work outside of the building. We can think about things like maybe becoming a WISE congregation, which is the UCC designation for mental health, or more intentionally thinking about other ministry initiatives that we might be able to do in our community that will help our church grow into what God asks for it to be. There are so many meaningful things that we can do. Another example is solar panels. Maybe we might be interested in doing solar panels for all or part of the church to lessen our impact on the environment. There are so many things, right? And so, friends, do not be weary in doing what is right. You are doing so many good things right now. And all of this is pleasing to God. And your discernment and you're willing to question is what is going to set you apart from churches that die off and churches that that grow and thrive. So may you continue to shine your light, even when this world seems hopeless. Amen. So the next hymn we'll be singing is number 595. They'll know we are Christians by our love. Please rise if it's comfortable for you to do so.
Thank you.
Amen. You may be seated. Now we come into a time of more intentional prayer, thinking of the people and situations that need our prayers and our love today. Let's take a few moments of silence to think about those folks. Amen. I have a couple of prayer requests. We ask for continued prayers for Kathy Vanderbush as she continues her cancer journey. God, in your mercy. I also have a joy today. So this afternoon, I'm going to be going back to First Congregational Church of Oshkosh, which is where I was a sabbatical minister before I came to you all, because they are honoring their choir director and organist who has just retired after 57 years. All of the previous pastors are coming to honor her, as well as several of her organ students who she's taught over the years, and they'll be playing selections of their own. She doesn't know this yet, but I was asked to write a song for this gathering, and so I'll be sharing it with them. And then she also doesn't know this. She will be given the honor of music director emerita, which is a pretty significant honor, recognizing the incredible things that somebody has done over their long and storied tenure. So for the people of First Congregational Oshkosh, for Joanne, for her husband Thatcher, and for all of the wonderful music that Joanne has given to that community. God, in your mercy. Anything else today? Okay. Then let us be in a time of prayer together. God of grace and love, we give you thanks that you always help us discern the difference between what is right and what is easy. We give you thanks that you give us the grace to know what we can do in this world to serve you and to serve others who are in need. We ask that you continue to guide us in that way, whether that is helping people in our own community who deal with things like cancer, or wider people who are dealing with food insecurity, with poverty, with homelessness. Discrimination in all of its forms. There are so many ways that we can shine our light. So help us, we pray, not be apathetic when these times can be hopeless for so many. Help us, we pray, to live with hearts wide open to the struggle, and also to the hope that we can do our own small things from where we are. Because in some ways, those things aren't very small at all. We ask all of these things in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, who showed us the way and taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The time has come to offer our gifts back to God. Here at UCC, we give thanks for all gifts that are given, whether through time, talent, treasure, or prayer. As the ushers come around, you may share a gift in the plate, or if you didn't bring any cash with you, you may also give online at uccwapan.net. But however you give, may you give with the understanding that all of our gifts are benefiting not only the ministries of this congregation, but also the ministry of the Church Universal. Join me in the prayer of dedication. Provider and protector, when we grow too arrogant, too individualistic, or too full of shame, we return to your teachings. We remember the utter grace of a planet that feeds us. We remember that the earth is not property, but kin, alive and aching. We remember that everyone is indebted to others, that every good thing we do this to remember our places, humbled and entangled in the whole of things. To the flourishing of the common good, we offer our gifts. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 393, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. We'll be singing 1, 2, and 4.
Thank you.
Friends, this is the good news of God. Thrones of power will never be the seat of our salvation. Only love, practiced and cultivated in community, can grow the hope we need. Only love, shared and multiplied through struggle and solidarity, can sustain and assure us. Only love, enfleshed in everyday lives near and far, takes the shape of God. Thanks be to our divine companion. Go in peace and courage to love and serve the Lord. Amen.